This audio was revised on January 24, 2012. I deleted references to the heretic Alphonsus de Liguori.
Today is August 13th, year 2006, the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. God will not hear prayers of somebody who's an obstinate heretic, an obstinate apostate, somebody who thinks he's Catholic but he's not. He can be praying all he wants. He can ask God for kingdom come. God's not even going to hear him. Because even St. James says in James, I think it's, I'll get the verse in a minute, but he says, it's not 4:4, but it's one of the other verses. He says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, because your heart is not correct. Jeremiah says in one of his verses, he says, ask and you shall receive. He says, seek and you shall find when you seek with your whole heart. Or ask and you shall receive and you receive if you with your whole heart. So you have to really love God. You got to be willing to obey all his commandments. You got to be a good Catholic, and then he'll give you those things. He doesn't give them to bad Catholics. Because, and even good Catholics, there's no thing that needs to be mentioned here. Even if you are a good Catholic and you're the best saint that ever lived, a St. Francis of Assisi, equal to the greatest saint that could ever be, there's even things he asked that God would not give him. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you got to be careful when you make statements like this to always make a clarification that God will give you things, but if you don't ask, you're not going to get anything. Mm-hmm. You're not even on first base. Yeah. It's a prideful man who doesn't ask God for help, who doesn't think he needs help from God. Why I'm saying this is because when I was a child and I was read a sermon like this, I'd go home and pray and God would never hear me. And I'd think either something's wrong. Is God out there? Does he hear me? Is there a God? Well, I thought God said I'd get whatever I want. Because a priest never qualified these statements by saying, no, God doesn't hear all your prayers. First of all, this only applies to if you're a good Catholic. And second of all, even if you're a good Catholic, you don't get it. Now, by not being told this could devastate somebody. They could go home, and because they're not getting everything they want, they think the Word of God is false. God's a liar. He's not fulfilling his promises. That's not true. That's why whenever you give a sermon like this about prayer, you got to be very, very careful not to be giving people too much confidence or misinterpreting by giving the people the impression that no matter what you ask for, you're going to get it. Because not even the saints were able to obtain that. But we know, though, whatever we really do need, we ask, God does get it for us. But he doesn't always take away sufferings from us when we ask, because he says, you need to suffer. I know what's better for you. You want that, because that's why I say, Lord, take away my suffering if it's your will. But if it's not your will, then I will keep the suffering. So in other words, God is the one still who, but when he'll give you mostly everything you do ask for, and when you're right with him. And he will give you everything you need, that's definite. But he's not going to absolutely give you everything. There's going to be some times when you are going to ask God for things and he doesn't think they're good for you. You think it's good for you, he says no. Two of the brothers could be praying for the same thing that only one of them can get. Maybe let's say two saints want to be the bishop of an area because they know how to rule the place and it needs a good ruler. And they both petition God, Lord, I don't ask you out of pride, but this diocese needs a good bishop to rule it. Can it be me? Across the city, there's another saint praying for the same thing. Well, they both can't get it. So ask and you receive, they're not both going to get it. So you got to be very careful when you're talking about these things to let people understand, yes, we know when you're right with God, he does answer almost all your prayers. And even the ones he's not answering, he's doing it because it's what's best for you. But I want to get into the main point with a lot of people are watching this, because listening to this, all these Norris Autos and traditionals think they're Catholic, you ain't going to get nothing because God don't even hear you. That don't even apply to you. You could ask him till kingdom come, until you start putting the faith first, God doesn't even hear that prayer. Because he's saying, you're asking me for your own selfish benefits, but you don't seem to care that JP2 kisses the Quran and he says Jews and Muslims worship the one God, and that he prays in communion with heretics, and that the church you're attending, these people praying in communion with heretics, you don't care about that? That doesn't bother you? And then you want me to answer your prayer? No. So as Jeremiah says, seek and you'll find. Seek God and you shall find him when you seek him with your whole heart. Ask and you will receive as long as you ask and you have a true heart and that you're obeying God's commandments. Which means you've got to be Catholic and you've got to be a good Catholic. Because if you're a bad Catholic, you're an obstinate sinner, then he's not going to give you hardly anything you ask for. But if you're an obstinate sinner. But if you're a penitent sinner, like the publican in the back of the... Ask, that's what he's saying. Look, that's why we go to God. If you're a penitent sinner and you're really sorry, first of all, you better ask God. You're not even going to get anything. And that's a prayer God never fails to answer. That if you have a true heart and you say, God, cure me of my sin, God is more than willing. God, there's no reason for God not to answer that prayer if you're of good will. If you're not of good will, if the reason God's not answering is because he knows you're not sincere. that even no matter how much grace he gives you, and he will give it to you, he knows you're not going to cooperate with it. You're not going to really convert. So, but the point he's making here is without asking, as we always say, you ain't going to get nothing. You want to make a good fast? Ask God for the help. You want to make a good feast? Ask God so you feast properly. You don't overfeast, you know, and you do it just the right way. You want to do any work, anything you do, every day you wake up, ask God for everything. And if you don't ask God for it, you're not going to get it. It says, well, why, how come I'm not getting this? How come it's just so deep? Because you didn't ask for it. So this is the importance of prayer. So that's what he's getting at here. But there always needs to be an agenda when anybody gives a sermon like this. I know it, because if you don't do it, the kid that's out there or the people, when I grew up in the church, all these guys were apostates, thinking they're all Catholic. And God's not answering none of their prayers. So they're walking out of that church going, that's just a bunch of words. You know, I ask. Because what are they asking for? I want to win $1 million lottery. Right? They go out and get all the different statues and put, like, a superstition, right? And they put things under the statue so they can win $1 million lottery. Or so they can go out there and get a brand new car. Or so God can get a new job in his company and so he can prosper and have the American dream.
Yeah.
So that's what a guy thinks God should be doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when God doesn't answer that prayer, he loses face in this epistle reading, this gospel reading, and thinks Jesus is a liar. He doesn't exist. And this is what happens to these people. Therefore, they don't really believe God is out there. But no one really sat down and told them, after this sermon, they could be thinking, oh, good, I can go and ask for whatever. No, that's not what it means.
Yeah.
You're not going to get whatever you want.
Yeah.
But you need to ask for whatever good things that you do need. And if you ask for something that's bad, God's not going to get it for you. And you have to tell them why. So the person could come in, this is the sermon they need to hear. I know it, because in this neighborhood I was in, you had all this superstitious stuff about the $1 million lotteries and I hope the Chicago White Sox wins the World Series. What does that got to do with God, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You want them to win? Fine, that's good. It's a game. That has nothing to do with it. You know, but they ask for the stupidest things. You know, and even God says there's a lot of things you shouldn't even ask for. I know you need them. Don't ask for the important things that are regarding the eternal salvation of your soul. So what the person needed to be told in the sermon, hey, Father, you know, last week you told me, ask and I'll receive, and God will give me whatever I want. And I've been praying for now 3 months, 4 months to win $1 million lottery, and I haven't won it.
Yeah.
And they needed to have a sermon, say, you know why? Because it's a sinful thing. You're full of greed. You're a greedy person. Why are you trying to get money quick and easy? Scripture says anybody who looks for a quick million, if he looks for it, lusts after it. Sometimes God will give you a quick million. He'll give it to you to prosper him. Booty in a war when you are victorious over God's enemies. He will give you a booty, a money. Sometimes God will give you money for his glory, but it's not for you to lust after. It's not for you to go searching after. It's not for you to go drooling after. These people are actually committing sins of materialism and greed by lusting after the $1 million lottery. So their prayer to God actually is not only is God not hearing their prayer, it's a sin.
Yeah.
They're committing sins of greed, the love of money more than God. That's more important than their soul. And so, you know, pray for health, yes, and that too, you can say. So a sermon needs to be given to these people is, you know why? Because what you're asking for is sinful. Because what you're doing is sinful. It's almost like saying, God, pray that you can send a girl around next week so I can fornicate. Ask and you shall receive.
Yeah.
I am going to give you that? Of course not, because it's a sin. It's a mortal sin. But they're never when these sermons were given in the North Soto parishes and the pre-Vatican II non-Catholic churches, these faithless priests never explained these things. So people are sitting there wondering why it's not happening, why they're not getting what they want, and they lose faith in the true God and His words. If it was explained to them, the Catholic context of this verse, in which St. James says, "You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss because your heart is not right." All right, and Jeremiah says, only when you seek him with your whole heart will he hear you, with your whole heart, soul, and mind, above all things, then yes. Other than that, you have to tell the flock, make sure that you first get your heart right with God and your intentions are pure, and then come before God and put your petition and he will hear you. So there has to be an addendum to that. Yes, nothing comes without asking God for help. But then you got to also make sure, what are your motives in asking? And what are you asking for? You know, and so the people have to be told that they need, because there's people out there right now, the charismatic movement, the V2 church, they pray all the time. Well, they pray just as Buddhists pray, Muslims pray. God's not hearing their prayers. Why? Because they're not right. So there has to be this aspect. Yeah, it doesn't mean prayer is wrong. We always say that. You've got to pray. But I'm adding an addendum here. Make sure your motives are correct. The reason we need to say this today is because everybody in the world out there who thinks he's Catholic, except for us few and myriads of remnant that I know about, is really not Catholic. And they're praying. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are. They're traditionalists. They don't pray, but a lot of them do. And I'm trying to tell them why God's not hearing your prayers. Because your motives aren't correct. I'm telling you to first come into the Catholic Church and accept the dogmas of the Church. If you're denying any one of his dogmas, how's God going to hear you? You're not even one of his children. He doesn't even listen to you. Do you start giving him some respect? Why should he give you a favor when you're disrespecting him and you're not even truly Catholic? So that's why God's not hearing your prayers. Then there's the other group that just not even praying at all. I mean, that's hard when you don't pray at all. So when you don't pray at all, there's no hope. Or when you're praying with bad motives, there's no hope. So you need to pray, and you need to pray with good motives. Period.
Yeah.
If you don't got those two things together, I'm telling you, you can pray the kingdom come. God's not going to hear. You got to have the good motive. You have to have the good intention. You have to have the good heart. And then God really will answer almost all your prayers. Almost all your prayers. And even the saint, he doesn't do that. So to get them into overconfidence, you know. But God, we know here, God does. He gives us almost that. And whenever I needed anything really, really bad, it was a real necessity, you pray for it, God gets it to you. He'll even get it to you before. I mean, certain things like he tells you that he knows, but because you get those proud people who don't ask God for anything. They just walk around, they think they're going to get better. And I said, well, did you ask God? Did you do an novena? Did you go before the saint and ask for his help? How come you didn't ask God? And God said, the reason you didn't get it is simply because you didn't ask me. And he's saying, once you ask God, God is delighted because then he opens up his heart and pours these graces down upon you because he's more than willing to help you. St. Bernard teaches that when we pray, the Lord, if he does not give the grace we ask, will grant a more useful gift. And that's a good, very good. Because God might say, well, this is not really actually best for you. I'm going to give you something else. So you never lose. It's a win-win situation. If God's not giving you what you prayed for, he's going to give you something else better.
Mm-hmm.
It's always better. God's never going to give you something other than what's the best for you. You have to just accept that if God's not hearing your prayer,
Catherine elaborated? Didn't she say when you ask God to make it that what the Blessed Virgin Mary would want you to ask or something? Is that what it was? Like when you want something? Is that like, to say that?
To ask what Mary wants.
Yeah, what would Mary pray?
What would Mary ask?
That's good.
Yeah, right.
That's excellent because what would Mary ask for?
Yeah.
Not what I would ask for.
Yeah.
Put yourself as pure as she is. Put yourself as pure as God is. What would God want?
Mm-hmm.
Because if the closer you get to God, you start knowing the things he'll answer you.
Yeah, right.
You know it, you know. It's like I said before, you get somebody who's a Weisenheimer, comes in, he's still a in vice.
Yeah.
He asks for fornication.
Yeah.
He asks that he can go out and fornicate. I mean, wait a second, no, that's not what God meant.
Yeah.
Let's take that in context. Now, you can be like a prostitute. No, he said, ask God, can you show receive? Can you receive anything you ask for? No, he didn't put no conditions on it. Yeah, no, you know.
Yeah.
That's why we have to be very careful. We're not Protestants. We have to take Bible verses in the proper context. And the priests we grew up didn't know the first thing about what these Bible verses mean. So when we all walked out of that church, I told you this many times, oh, God ain't hearing me. Instead of the priest on Richard, he's not hearing you because you're not Catholic. But you know why the priest couldn't tell me that? Because he's not Catholic. That was I learned it from him. Hey, Father, there's a blind leading the blind. Matthew 15:14. When the blind lead the blind, both fall to the pit.
Yeah.
I got a non-Catholic priest, no wonder, you know. He's not going to come up. Hey, Richard, the reason God's not hearing your prayers is because you're a heretic like I am. I taught you real well, my son, to be a nice heretic, so God won't hear you, you know. But when you ask, and like he says, when God does not give you something, then you know it's not for your good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then you really have to be careful too. When God's not hearing any of your prayers, you better start examining your conscience. Am I Catholic?
Mm-hmm.
Or if I am Catholic, am I a bad Catholic? Mm-hmm. I'm either a bad Catholic or I'm a non-Catholic. I'm a secret heretic. Don't even know I'm a heretic. But in God's eyes, I'm a heretic. You better sit down and say, why is this not happening? You know, so there's all this kind of introspection that needs to be done. But prayer does, without prayer, you don't go nowhere. You know? So we're not trying to undermine. Prayer is the very first pinnacle of everything. I was just reading that last night with Francis even, said, without prayer, you're doomed.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer is the very first thing we all must do. Without prayer, guess what? You can't mortify yourself. You can't learn the faith properly. You can't obey God's commandments. You can't do anything right without prayer. Prayer is a thing that gets you the grace to do everything else that comes underneath it. Prayer is the absolute very pinnacle of everything. And the other two pillars of mortification and learning the faith come underneath prayer. So you go and say, I'm not able to mortify myself the way I want. I want to mortify myself more. How do you do that? Prayer. God, give me the grace and the strength to mortify my flesh so it doesn't become so painful that I cannot bear it. And so that I have to quit. Make it so I can bear it. Make it so I can do it. Give me the grace, and that's prayer. Then there's the prayer. then comes the mortification, and you will be able to do it if it's God's will. Mm-hmm. He may not want you. Maybe God says, I don't want you to mortify you to that direction. I want you to go this way. But without prayer, mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to properly mortify yourself or learn the faith. Period. End of discussion. So that's what Alphonse really is saying here. But what I really, he's not living, well, it was pretty bad in his day too, but not as bad as we are here today. Today we're talking in a world when people are praying, charismatics and traditional, they're saying their daily rosaries, but God's not hearing them. That's a different problem. And that problem has to do with the fact that they're not even Catholic. They're heretics, obstinate heretics, holding on to heresies, and God never hears those prayers. Not until you first set into your mind to get rid of your heresies. Even when you're a heretic, God will listen to you, but you have to go to God and say, I'm confused, I'm not sure about what's going on here, that priest sounds wrong, that I can't be right, God help me. Help me to know that he'll hear that prayer. But he will not hear an obstinate heretic who's going to Mass every Sunday and confession on Saturday thinking he's just the greatest Catholic in the world and going out and not even professing the faith or not even knowing the faith. That guy ain't going to get nothing from God. He's getting things, but it ain't coming from God. The good things he's getting, it's coming from Satan. The bad things he's getting is coming from God to wake him up. But that's the idea on asking you to receive. It's a very dangerous verse if you don't comment on that verse right. If you don't, one kid, you could have a kid for the first time hears that sermon in your church, he could walk out if you don't explain it to him right, and you just cause that kid to lose his faith.
Yeah.
Happened to me. I was that kid. Mm-hmm. I know it. I grew up in that. I'm not just talking about this verse, but all the other things Christ promised. Okay. And so it's not happening in your life. And you're going, why? And then sooner or later you break down because it keeps getting worse and you give up. Either God's a phony, he's false, he's not true, or I don't know, you don't even think about him anymore. You just sort of put it out of your mind and it doesn't exist. God really doesn't become real to you anymore. Because you don't have the faith, because the priest turns you into a heretic. He's not giving you the proper interpretations of the verses. So when God's not hearing your prayer, you go up and you think, well, either he's not there, or he doesn't care. He's the other type of God the agnostics spoke about, a God who's aloof to mankind. And so you walk out and you become a heretic even worse. And you don't really know why God didn't answer your prayers. I know, because he's answering my prayers now, what the problem was. So I'm telling people out there, your problem is that you're not in the Catholic, you're not a good Catholic, you're not holding the faith, you're not desirous of learning and seeking the true God. You don't really want to know the truth. You're holding on to falsehoods that have been taught to you, and you know they're false, but you don't say nothing because you want to stay in the church because of human companionship, love of people. You don't want to rub people the wrong way. You don't want to get your family members angry, so you stay in the church. And when God sees that, he doesn't hear your prayer. You can go home and pray till kingdom come. He ain't hearing you. So there's a twofold thing we're talking about here. The necessity of prayer and prayer with good motives. So, and as we know, even St. Bernard said, you're not even going to get everything. And even a saint who's praying with good motives, even then, don't expect that you're going to get everything you ask for. Expect that you're going to get most of the things you're going to ask for. Yes, definitely. And when God starts giving you things that you really do pray for, and it comes the very next day, maybe the very same day, right after you pray for it, God gets it to you. You know he's hearing your prayer. You know the Word of God is living and effectual in your life, like the two-edged sword St. Paul talks about. You know, and you know he's real, and he's really answering you, so that when he doesn't answer you at other times, you know he could, but he's not doing it because it's not for your best purpose, or you better figure out some other reason why he's not doing it. But my point is, at least you now you have faith in God. He does keep his word. All I'm telling the people out here is the reason God hasn't been hearing your prayers, not really, is because you're obstinate heretics or you're obstinate non-Catholics. Maybe you were never Catholic. But I'm talking particularly to traditionalists, Norris, or those that are think you're Catholic and they're not, because you're obstinate heretics. That is why God is not hearing your prayers. And don't think that because you pray for a nice fancy house and a nice career and then you got it right now, that God heard your prayer. No, that's from hell. That's from Satan. Because God never rewards obstinate sinners like that. Only the devil does. Because that leads them into a false confidence. Look how my life is in order. I got a great job. I got a great home. I got a great vacation. Yeah, you and millions of other pigs in the United States that are all running around like that rich man.
Yeah.
So there's the other deception. So they think your prayers are being heard. But they really know deep inside when they really have prayers, when they need God, God doesn't hear them. A lot of them know that. You know, a lot of them know because, of course, some of the things they're asking for, too. You know, was it the $1 million lottery? You know, I want to go and have a $1 million lottery. You know, I want to have a nice handsome-looking face so I can go out and seduce people, you know, or I want to be a good, handsome, stuff. I mean, so you're asking for sinful things. Mm-hmm. So you got to make sure you're asking for the right reasons. When we pray to the Lord, if He does not give us the grace we ask, He will grant us a more useful gift. He will give either, we can assume here too that what He's talking here too, basically is good Catholics too. But still, you have to make the addendum like Bernard just did here. You're not going to get everything you ask for. He will give either what we ask or what He knows will be more profitable to us. And whom has God, when asked for aid, ever despised by not listening to His petition? Who hath called upon Him and He despised him? The Scripture says that among the nations there is none that has God so willing to hear our prayers as our true God. No matter, God hears all things. When I say God doesn't hear our prayers, He even hears the prayers of the obstinate. He hears them, but He doesn't answer them. The question, He'll always answer our good Catholics, or even if someone's not Catholic yet, who's of good will coming here, He'll always answer their prayers. But the answer is maybe not always what they expect. Sometimes the answer is no. Really, He's answering you. Other times, He'll hear your prayers, I'm not even going to give you an answer. You're not going to get anything, because you're not worthy. You're not even, your motives are wrong. I'm not even going to let you know the reason why you're not getting what you're getting. You know, because you chose this road, I've given you an opportunity. Last week, what happened when somebody came up and showed you John Paul II kissing the crayon? What did you say? You went, oh, well, you know, that's okay to do that. There's nothing wrong with it. Or you only said it was a scandal. And he didn't come out and say what it was. An act of idolatry. An act of blasphemy to consider that the true God, representing the true God, a Catholic, should be able to kiss the crayon and call himself a Catholic. And the crayon, which is a blasphemous book, it's an act of idolatry. So in other words, guys, remember when you didn't say nothing about that? Well, that's why I don't answer your prayers. I don't answer them. I don't answer none of your prayers. Matter of fact, I'm nothing. Until you start getting, then he'll say, oh, then the guy will come down the next week and say, Lord, why are you not answering me again? He's praying, all right? So God sends him, okay, send him another test and see if he passes. I'll give him the grace and everything, all right? So he goes in there, and JP2 goes into the synagogue, and he says the old covenant is still in force, and that the apostate Jews are elder brothers with Catholics. And the guy hears that. And he says, boy, how nice that is. I always thought the Jews were really just like us. Isn't it? And he doesn't say nothing. He doesn't get up and say, that's an abomination. The old covenant ended with Christ. The apostate Jews denied Christ. They're not God's chosen people. Instead of saying that, he goes along with another heresy. Then he prays again, and God says, there you go. You're getting yourself in deeper. I gave you a chance. When did you give me a chance? Remember when the guy showed you that picture and said the old covenant's still in effect? What did you say? You know the old covenant's not in effect. You know Jesus came to replace a new covenant. And if you didn't know, you're that stupid. You're not even worthy of being called Catholic. That's a basic dogma. And go to your Bible and start reading it, you know. So in other words, all these things happen in their life. And then the people have the audacity to say, why is God not hearing my prayers? I pray the rosary every day. Ain't gonna hear nothing. Not a darn thing, because you failed your test when the faith issues came up. Your motives are stink. You're not seeking God with your whole heart. You're running from the true God. You're running from the truth. So you can, in this case, you can pray to your kingdom come, and God's not going to hear you. So this is what's happening to those people. Okay, so if you finally sit down and make a true prayer, and God sees, let's say for instance, the next week something does come by, and somebody shows it to you again, we come up to one of those persons and show them the truth to you, to counter it about the Quran. They look what they say about the Holy Trinity, and look at here, Jesus came to replace the new old covenant with the new. And if you said the old's still alive, then Jesus didn't come. Then our Jesus Christ is a phony. Here's the, and we show them the verses. Jeremiah 31:31, the Lord shall make a new covenant. And all the ones in Hebrews that talks about the Lord making a better testament. And then the person might go like this. Hey, you know, he might be right. Lord, I think, oh, maybe I'm wrong here. Help me. Now God will start to listen to you. If you're saying that. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to be real nasty and not even look at what we give you, then you're getting yourself in triple deeper. So this is the problem. So prayer with the right motive. The Scripture says that among the nations there is none that has God so willing to hear our prayers as our true God. And here's, not only does he hears everybody's petitions, he hears everybody, but he doesn't answer them. You know, that was, remember we had the big argument, somebody's trying, he hears the prayers of Buddhists. Now, how could God hear the prayers of a Buddhist? He reads their inner heart if they're lost and confused, and he always gives them the grace to be saved. He doesn't, until they die, if he sees goodwill, but he never hears their prayers. You can't. How could God hear and answer prayers offered up to a false God? He hears even the bad people, but he doesn't answer them. But the point is, you want to get anything from God, you better ask him. And you better petition him. and that God wants you to petition. He desires this of you. And if you don't do it, it's an act of immense pride on your part. Who are you to not ask your Creator for every little thing, for every breath you take, for the next step I take right here, I ask God in the morning to give me the strength to do it. And so, and we know He hears it. He's delighted to hear it. He actually demands it of you for your salvation even. It's a test of your humility and subjection to God. I'm talking to good Catholics here now. Or even non-Catholics who are of goodwill, seeking God. He'll hear their prayers, their urgings, as long as it's not offered to a false God. A non-Catholic might come back one day and say, Lord, I get nothing from this Buddhist. I think they're false. God, if you're up there, and there is a God up there, other than this Buddhist person or this Muslim God, could you please hear me? God will definitely hear me. God waits for you to come to that point. Because now you're not praying to that God. You're praying to the true God who you don't know yet. You don't know who He is, but you're asking that you want to know Him. You're back to this God exists. I know He exists, but I'm suspicious that the God I'm worshiping is not Him. Mm-hmm. God will hear that.
Mm-hmm.
See? He'll hear that. And that's what He waits for, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what a great beneficent God. He wants to give you things. Just ask for them. You know, and then what the bad thing is what some people do when they're good Catholics even, they get used to God giving them all the favors and they forget to ask and thank Him. Those are the most dangerous things. You're prospering, He has. It would take a book for us to fill to tell how many things God has done to us. So we can say 100% that God exists just through the fact alone of all the things that He does for us. It's as if He came down here and gave Himself and handed Him to us personally, and we looked upon His face even. That's how the certainty of God is in our life, the faith that we have. But the point is, when He starts giving you all these things, as He's done for us, you can't become lax and take it for granted. You can't stop asking for them because you've been getting them. So you just say, He's going to keep giving it to me. I don't have to keep asking. I don't have to thank Him for it. Okay, you pray the exorcism every month and the devil's at bay. So you figure He's no longer even around anymore. Or God's going to automatically grant you this protection. And you disconnect that the reason you've been protected all these months is because of your exorcism prayer every month and your daily offices, so you slack off on these things and you become lax. And you don't realize that the reason you had it was because you were petitioning God for it and thanking Him. So for our whole soul for all eternity, even when we go to heaven, is constantly petitioning and thanking God. And if you're not doing that, you're in deep trouble. Because then you're going to be taken for granted that, yeah, asking you have received, you have received, you have asked. You ask with a true heart and you thank me and I've given you. But now you're beginning to get a little slack. You're not asking the way you were before. You're not thanking me the way you were before. You're leaving out the thanksgivings. You're leaving out the askings. Ask. And then God will start to pull these things away a little bit if you get a little lax. And it'll scare you. And then you go, okay, Lord, I'm back on my knees again. I'm sorry. I'm taking it for granted. I've taken my health for granted. I've taken whatever I have. So he says here, where are we now? He needs to open it, end it soon in this paragraph. Jesus Christ said one day to His disciples, hitherto you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. And He wants to make you joyful. And that's all that God ever does. That's the experience. It says, whether we're tortured, whether we're persecuted, whether we're prospering, we're always joyful. Our hearts are always lifted up to God. Never change one bit. You know, never change one bit. And this is what God not only promises to give us the true joy, He does give it to us if we're right with Him. And of course, the first thing to that is prayer and asking for it, and then being a good Catholic and having the right motive. And if He said, you complain of me for not making you perfectly content, but you ought to complain to yourselves for not having asked of me all the gifts you should have need of. Ask henceforth whatsoever you want, and your prayer shall be heard. Ask to be able to make the mortification. Ask to be able to do the fast. Ask to be able to handle the feasting days the proper way. Ask to be able to regulate your passions in all the proper manner. Ask to be able to understand the scriptures if it's difficult for you. Ask if you're having a hard time learning at any point that needs to be learned. Lord, open up the Holy Ghost. You promised to give me the understanding. Give it to me. Ask. Ask. Every morning before I read the Bibles, I ask. I ask for that help of the Holy Ghost to enlighten me, to help me, to give me the words to be able to write and to read. Every morning, every day. The way we structured it around here, we have set prayers that we do so we don't avoid doing it. If you're following the rule, you're asking God every day. If you're following the rule we have here in our prayers, you're petitioning and thanking God every day, every moment of the day, every day. And that never leaves your mind. And that's why, and there's some things maybe ourselves even that you're wanting and you haven't asked for. Even things with your health, ask. If you want to get better, ask me. If it's my will, I'll make you better. But if it's not, well, will I might not make you better? You know, then my question would be, why are you not? Is it something I'm doing wrong, or is it a penance I have to suffer for others? Like, remember in St. Bernard Subaru, even, she suffered greatly and could not be healed by her own. Mm-hmm. She says, she could not be healed by her own cure. I'm sure she wanted to, but God said, no, that's not for you. It's given for you to suffer. Even Moses, when he says, I petitioned the Lord, I petitioned to enter the promised land after my sin, and he would grant it. And that was a punishment for his sin, penance. He understood mm-hmm. that. So sometimes, but without asking, you don't get nothing. Yeah. Without asking, you can't be saved. Without asking, it's almost like you don't even believe in God. Or if you do, you're shunning him and smiting him and despising him. But for anybody who doesn't know the true God, who might be listening to this sermon, they're understanding that the true God is beneficent. He's loving. He wants to give you all good things. He's more than willing. He loves it when you, like, he's waiting for you to ask him so he can dispense all these good things on you. That's the true God. Then he says, St. Bernard complained that the Lord is wanting to them. But he complains with more justice. But he complains with more justice that they are wanting to him by neglecting to ask him for his graces. Okay, and we'll go on to this later. Maybe we'll have a... So that's it for now. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.
This recording is produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. Visit our St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us or email me, Richard Joseph Michael Ibrani, at rjmi@johnthebaptist.us or send for a catalog to the just mentioned address.